Now, just a word of warning, or at least a word of explanation. The Noble Eightfold Path, as its name tells us, is a path, a way, a marga in Sanskrit. And it consists, as we've seen over the last so many weeks, consists of 8 steps or 8 stages. And the spiritual life, the Buddhist life, consists in walking on, walking along this path. Now, this is very familiar imagery. We're using it all the time in Buddhism, following the path, treading the path, going from this stage to that stage, and so on. But at the same time, we must beware of interpreting literally, or too literally at least, what is really, what is essentially, a figure of speech. We're so easily misled by words. We so easily take words at their face value. It's true that in a way the spiritual life consists in following a path, going from stage to stage. But in a way also, the spiritual life isn't anything like following a path. When we follow a path, when we walk along a path, as we progress, as we go forward, we leave the earlier stages, we leave the earlier steps behind. They're done with. They're finished. But in the case of the spiritual life, it isn't like that. It's a cumulative process, like rolling a snowball along the ground. It grows, it expands all the time. So in a sense, we may say that we are following all the stages of the Eightfold Path all at the time. Not that we have perfect vision, right? Then perfect vision is finished with. You forget all about perfect vision, you go on to perfect emotion. Having traversed that stage, you leave perfect emotion behind, go on to perfect speech. Not like that at all. Probably we've been thinking in those terms, perhaps understandably, perhaps unavoidably, but it isn't really like that at all. It's cumulative. It's a process of growth, a process of expansion. And as I've said, in a sense, we follow all the stages of the path all the time. How is this? Well, suppose we experience, just for a moment, just for an instant, perfect vision. It may be while we're meditating, maybe while we're out for a walk in the country, maybe while we're listening to some music, maybe when we pause in the midst of the traffic for an instant. But howsoever it may be, in one way or another, we have an experience of perfect vision. It's as though something opened up within us and we see things as they are, at least for an instant, at least for a fraction of a second. For that time, at least, we're in contact with something ultimate, even with reality. So having had this moment of perfect vision, what happens? To some extent, at least, this moment of perfect vision influences our emotions. To some extent, we develop perfect emotion, the second step of the path. It overflows also into our speech. It influences our speech. Our speech becomes more like perfect speech. Our action also is influenced, at least to some extent, subtly, indirectly, by this moment of perfect vision. We're changed in all these ways, on all these levels, in all these aspects. And this is how it goes on. It may happen then again that some other time, it may be weeks later, months later, years later, there's another moment of perfect vision, perhaps, as I've said, at the time of meditation, perhaps at some other time. But the whole process repeats over again. We're influenced still more by this moment of perfect vision. Speech becomes more like perfect speech. Action becomes more like perfect action. And in this way, it goes on. You may remember that at the very beginning I pointed out that anga means limb or shoot, not step or stage. It's the Arya Ashtangika Marga, the eight-limbed, or eight-membered, or eight-shooted stage. Not really the stage, not really the path with eight steps or eight stages. The path of eight limbs, or the path of eight members. So that's why we've been translating Anga sometimes as aspect, so as not to give the impression too much that it's a succession, a series of steps and stages mutually discrete.